The book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, please. In verse 10, we read, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street that which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth." Let's just look to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, as we turn now to thy word, and Lord, enable us to see the truth from thy word, that each one of us must come to bow before thee as Lord and worship thee as Lord. Not only acknowledge thee with the lips, but with obedience of life. We thank thee that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Bless our study, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been thinking all afternoon upon some names that are listed here. I thought of preaching of something else tonight, but I had an experience this morning. I went in to see Ruby. I was ready for the service, so I went in early to the hospital and went in to see Ruby, and she still hasn't improved too much. And when I was there on Friday, we noticed that Joe was in the ward along with his wife was visiting and daughter, so we're over with Joe on Friday night. And so a nurse came in. I had to leave the side ward for a moment or two, and so I asked the nurse, "Is Joe Boyd still here?" "No, no, he's gone home." So then I went in with Ruby for a while, and I said, "No, that couldn't be right." So I went up again and asked the nurse, "Is you sure Joe Boyd went home? Has he not been transferred?" She said, "Oh, hold on, I'll check." "Oh yes, he's transferred to Ward 16. Now you can't go through 15 because it was MRSA, I think, in a ward that would all close. So you had to go down the stairs and up and so on." Went in. "No, no, I'm sorry, you can't see Joe. He's getting the test at the minute." "Yes, we do have a Joe Boyd, but he's getting some tests at the minute, ECGs and so on. You'll have to wait." So I'm watching morning service. About 20 minutes, I looked in and they pulled the curtains back. I said to the nurse, "Can I go and see Joe Boyd?" "Yes, he's over in that bed." I said, "That's not the Joe Boyd I know." Didn't look anything like him. So I said, "What's happening?" So I went out of the hospital, got the car, but I thought I would telephone Mavis and telephone. And he said, "He's in Ward 20. I said, "I wonder, should I go back in?" So I raced in quickly up the lift and I spent a few minutes with him. And he isn't too well, waiting for some test today. He's in Ward 20. It's another cardiac ward. So I went to the wrong Joe Boyd. And that got me thinking throughout today. I've had that experience before. Now, I had one experience where there was no difficulty with it. I remember visiting an Eric Dixon some years ago in Lagan Valley. And there were four beds in the one ward, and there were two Eric Dixons. And I knew the one I was visiting, so I knew the Eric I wanted. And they're both in for knee operations, by the way. Both of them. Hope they got the right thing in each of them. But there are sometimes problems, and we understand the pressure that nurses are under. It does happen. It reminded me, and I was thinking about that experience, as we talked this morning about old age. Now I'm old and grey-headed. We talked about that text this morning, and one of the things is you look back to the past. And I remember when I mentioned our Dara, I'm speaking there on Thursday, we knew two men with the same name. One went to Money Slane, or associated with Money Slane, might be a better way to put it, and one associated with our Dara. And I was over both churches, and one passed away and trusted the Lord just a few months before he passed away, age 89, came to know Christ as a Savior. That was a tremendous joy. And he testified about that for about 6 months before he died, how he had trusted the Lord, had gone to church all his life, knew the catechism, sought to follow the Lord. Remember the morning when he said to me, "You know, I brought his nephew in and said, you know, every night I would say my prayers and ask God to forgive me. But it's different this morning because I've come as a sinner and he has forgiven me." And Joe would tell people that. Well, there's another man with the same name, and both of them had worked in Canada for quite a number of years. You know what they did? They cut the pension off the other one. Because we knew both families, and they couldn't understand why. Was it a pension from Canada? Both men are working, and they took the pension off the wrong man. Same name, wrong man. It's amazing when you get names mixed up, isn't it? It's amazing how names can be mixed up, and there are stories you can read of it happening in hospitals and various placing of names been mixed up. So this afternoon, I was thinking about that coming from the hospital. I thought about it this afternoon, so bear with me as I just share some thoughts that were in my mind this afternoon, thinking about what's in a name, Shakespeare said. A rose by any other name would be as sweet. Well, names, of course, are important. Onomatology, I think they pronounced it right, is the study of people's names. And maybe you've your name because your parents liked that sound of that name, or because you're a relative with that name, or because that name, the meaning of the name. And of course, young couples, when the child's coming along, they may get the baby book out and go down all the names, and they wonder what that name and this name and that name and so on. And there's a lot of effort sometimes goes into picking a name. It should just be like America Junior. That's a lot simpler. But all the names, and they are important, and we guard our names. And then I remembered, and I looked it up again this afternoon. Some years ago, I was in the National Trust building, and I purchased a little tiny book, Interesting Strange Facts About Ireland. Some of them were very strange. First time the Union flag was ever flown was in Dublin. Not strange, but anyway, not going to be all that. But it said down in Fermanagh, there are some families with the surname Valentine. Of course, none of you are thinking what Valentine's about. But anyway, Valentine. And yes, it's true. And Mrs. Valentine had a child on February the 14th. And you know what she called it. Valentine. That's true. That's not made up. I don't know if that boy ever forgave his parents for that. Names. I'm thinking about names here. Just one more came to mind. There was a once, and I have to admit, as a Free Presbyterian minister, was that family had brought the child, just dedicated the child, and they had picked hymns for the order of service. And immediately after the child, and they had been with the family, and the name and so on, you know what they sang? Man of Sorrows, what a name. Immediately after the child. That's a lovely hymn, by the way, but maybe not after you've just... But anyway, names, they're so important. And yet names, two people with the same name, it can cause confusion. But it can lead to very interesting situations. Alexander the Great, who conquered the world in his 20s, the great Greek general. The famous story is told that a soldier was brought before him to be disciplined, to be tried for his bad behavior. And when the case came up, it said the general looked at him and said, "What's your name?" And he said, "Alexander." "What? You have the same name as me? Listen, soldier, either change your behavior or change your name. Either change your behavior or change your name." Now, the Holy Spirit has recorded many names in Scripture. There are lists of people's names. We've looked at them in the Lord's Day morning of the 12 sons of Jacob. The names are listed. We looked at the list of names of the descendants of Esau. One day we touched on that. There are lists of famous soldiers who fought under David. There are lists in the New Testament, for instance, of the 12 apostles. Lists of names. Names are important not only to us, but they're very important to God as well. And I was struck thinking of the passage in Acts, that there are three names mentioned. Three individuals, but I'm thinking of the names. Did you notice as I read it, those two verses, 10 and 11? Ananias, Judas, Saul. And you see, when you read the Word of God, you need to be careful who you're reading about. Because it's possible to get confused over who the person is. Because there are different people in Scripture called Judas. There are various individuals at that name. There are three mentioned in the book of Acts alone who had the name Judas. You need to know which one you're reading about. There are two men with the name Ananias. Three. Because in chapter 24 there's a high priest called Ananias, but I'm not dealing with him tonight. So there's three men in the book of Acts called Ananias, so you need to know which one you're reading about. And then there are two men in Scripture with the name Saul. Two men. So I was thinking about that, names. how you can get mixed up in names and get the wrong person when you ask for the wrong name and so on. And so just take these names, six men, three sets of the same name, and get some lessons. First of all, those three names, I want you to think of the comparisons. The first name I want you to think about is in Acts. Well, it's mentioned here, Saul. Saul, of course, in verse 11. But turn over to chapter 13, verse 21. And you have a different character entirely with the same name. Chapter 13, verse 21. Paul is actually preaching. Saul's name was changed to Paul, of course. Verse 21. And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul. Now, this is King Saul from the Old Testament. So I'm saying in the book of Acts, there are two men. Now, you'd say, well, we'll not confuse those two, because one lives in the Old Testament hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before Saul of Tarsus. You'll not get those two mixed up. But have you ever thought of how alike they were? Because there in Acts 13, verse 21, King Saul is talking about, you'll read about him in 1 Samuel. He's mentioned in a few other places as well. And Saul of Tarsus. They both came from good families. They both came from the tribe of Benjamin. Isn't that interesting? They both were young men when we're introduced to them in Scripture. Both were influenced by godly men. The one who became King Saul was influenced, of course, by Samuel, the godly prophet. Saul of Tarsus was influenced, yes, against his will, but yet he was influenced by a godly preacher called Stephen. I believe he couldn't get Stephen's life and testimony out of his mind. And what made Saul and the two Sauls, the men they were, the influence they had. Now, both of those men, when you study it out, King Saul, Saul of Tarsus, they both received dramatic, sudden calls from God. Saul, back in 1 Samuel, he was out on a quest for lost donkeys when God called him to be king to a high position. Saul of Tarsus was going along, not imagining that suddenly God would intervene in his life. And the Lord, even Jesus, appeared to him and saved him. He says in 1 Timothy, I obtained mercy. He didn't attain to it, because you don't attain to mercy. We don't deserve it. He obtained mercy. The Lord appeared to him in his grace. Interesting, by the way, there's 3 days. There were 3 days Saul searching for the donkeys. 3 days Saul was blind. I'm saying there are comparisons between those. By the way, both of them were preachers. Isn't that right? Saul of Tarsus became a preacher. King Saul was a preacher. You say, well, where do you get that? I'm not turned back for script for time tonight. But in 1 Samuel chapter 10, you'll read in about 3 places that Saul, the Spirit of God came upon him and he prophesied. And they said, is Saul also among the prophets? Is Saul also among the prophets? So I'm saying there's a lot of similarities, there's comparisons. But let's turn to that second set of names, Judas. Turn back to chapter 1. Chapter 1 in the book of Acts. I was just struck thinking this afternoon of names, of how people with the same names, but yet they're so different. Now here we're thinking, of course, similarities, but we'll see next they're so different. And in chapter 1 of Acts, verse 13, we're introduced to the last part of the verse, Judas, the brother of James. There's a man called Judas, one of the 12 apostles. You see that? But if you go down to verse 16, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas. It's not the same man. They're the same name, but don't mix them up. This is Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. There's Judas the apostle. Sometimes he's called Labius. He was a brother of James. And in fact, in the lists in the Gospels, it sometimes says Judas, not the Iscariot. Judas, the brother, I'm showing you it's not Judas Iscariot. Judas, the betrayer. Judas, the traitor. So do you know among the 12 disciples there were 2 men with the same name? Judas. Oh, how similar they were. They both received, they both heard the Saviour speaking to them. They both heard the Saviour saying, follow me. They both heard the Lord preaching, heard the same sermons. They heard his prayers. They listened to his parables. They saw with their own eyes the Lord's power in raising the dead and healing the sick. They had the same opportunities, these two men with the same man. They actually became preachers. And they went out on a preaching trip, in fact, more than one. And on one occasion they came back and said, it's great, even the demons are subject unto us. And they both reported back. And all the other apostles never suspected Judas Iscariot, because he seemed like all the rest. So you have two men called Saul mentioned. You have two men called Judas. Now, when we go to chapter 5 of the book of Acts, we're introduced to the third doublet, if you like. Because in chapter 5, remember we've already read about Ananias in chapter 9, but what do we read here in chapter 5, verse 1? But a certain man named Ananias. Now, you don't think for one moment this is the same Ananias in chapter 9. They're two different men. This one lived in Jerusalem. Damascus was way, way, way up where Syria is today. Two different men with the same name. Same name. Two different men. Same name. Now, they were very similar, because they both were church members. They both professed faith in Christ. They both said they were trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. With their mouth they professed, and they'd been received into membership in the church. One was a church member away up in Damascus. One was a church member in Jerusalem. What comparisons. Ah, but keep those six men. Three sets of names. Secondly, think of the contrasts. The contrasts. This is why it's so important. Don't confuse them. Think firstly of the two men with the name Saul mentioned in the book of Acts. You know what separates these two men? Do you know what causes the division and how they went through life? One word, obedience. Obedience. Saul started off well. This is King Saul. After about 2 years in his position as king, he became proud. You can read about it in the 1 Samuel, chapter 13, 14, 15, on through that book, but those chapters especially. He became proud. And he's lifted up. He who had started so humbly. And they were waiting for Samuel to come and offer a sacrifice. And he became impatient and tired waiting. And he went and he sacrificed an offering. That was the duty of the priest. And Samuel came. Samuel loved Saul. So he's very disappointed. He said, Saul, why? Why have you done this? You know that's against God's law. Oh, but you delayed, as he's blaming other people. Oh, the people who were waiting, you delayed. You see, sin always finds an excuse, or tries to find an excuse. And Samuel tells them off. And then in chapter 15, he was told to kill all the Amalekites and destroy all their herds. And Samuel comes along and says, have you done the will of the Lord? Oh, yes, I've performed the will of God. I've been obedient to the Lord's commands. And all of a sudden, whatever noise a sheep makes, you shepherds are bad, you know. What meaneth the bleeding of the sheep? Oh, the people wanted me to keep the best ones to sacrifice to the Lord. That sounded more spiritual. What did God say? Destroy them. Oh, but we kept them for the Lord's sake. You know, a lot of sins can be tried to be justified with religious sounding language. Samuel turned to him and said, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. He said, Saul, your disobedience is no different than witchcraft and idolatry. You see, Saul was not obeying the Lord. Are you obeying the Lord tonight? God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Have you repented? Are you like King Saul? But you turn to Saul of Tarsus in chapter 9. What do you find? We read it earlier. In chapter 9, what did he cry out when the Lord appeared to him? Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And what does Saul cry out? In verse 6, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? See the difference? Their difference was in their obeying. King Saul, no longer interested in obeying the Lord. Possessions was more important. That came second to obeying the Lord. But Saul of Tarsus, the moment he was saved, Lord, what will you have me to do? You know what he said later? I was not disobedient to the heavenly calling. What separated these two men? Obeying. What about the next two? Two men with the name Judas. Do you know what's interesting? Both of them asked questions. Both of them asked questions. And the questions a person asks tells you a lot about them. Do you know what Judas, and I don't turn to these passages to read the verses for time, but you'll read in John chapter 12 and verse 5, Judas Iscariot asked a question. Do you remember when the lady came with the expensive perfume, maybe took a year's of man's salary, saved it up, and she anointed the Savior's feet against his burial? It had been revealed to her that Christ was going to die. She anointed him even before the time. She was worshipping. And the perfume filled the house. And Judas is there. Why wasn't that sold and the money given to the poor? Sounded good. Hypocrisy. Because you read John 12, it'll say he wasn't concerned for the poor. He was a thief. He was a treasurer. He was a thief. Shows you he was respected, because you always have people's treasures you'd respect. But yet, in his heart, money was more important. Money was more important. And there he was, close with the Lord, but yet he's not obeying and not close to the Lord. His namesake, Judas, another one of the 12. In John 14, verse 22, he asked a question. You know what his question was? How wilt thou manifest thyself to us and not to the world? Judas Iscariot, his mind was on money. How can I get a bit of money out of this? The other man who had the same name among the 12, you know what his question was? Lord, how can we know you? How will you reveal yourself to us? You see, his motive and passion, his life was that I, like the Apostle Paul, that I may know the Lord. Lord, how can I know you? You say you're going away. You remember he told them he was going away. How can I know you? Does that tell a lot of difference about these two men in their ambitions for life? Judas, the brother of James, was captivated with knowing the Lord. Judas Iscariot was just taken up with covetousness. And do you know, I was really struck with this as I looked at it this afternoon. Do you know what's amazing? Do you know how Judas, the brother of James, began his question? Lord, how wilt they recognize Jesus Christ was his Lord? Lord, I want to know you. So the difference there was in knowing. What did they want to know? Judas Iscariot just wanted to know more money. Know what wealth was like. Judas, the brother of James, wanted to know the Lord. What about the last set, Ananias? Ananias in chapter 5, that church member, he wanted the praise of man. He wanted to please man. How do we know? Well, you see, in chapter 4 of Acts, what happened was a man by the name of Joseph. He had land and he sold it and he brought the money and he gave it to the apostle and he said, here, I've sold the land and here's the money I got for it. You divide it and to help the widows and the congregation. Now, he didn't do it to be praised of men, but he wasn't ashamed of what he did and people got to hear about it. And you know what they said? That's just like him. And they gave him a nickname. They nicknamed him Barnabas. That wasn't his name. You probably know him as Barnabas, but that wasn't his name. That was a nickname meaning encourager. They give him the name, he's an encourager. Now, chapter 5 begins, and here's Ananias and his wife. And they say to themselves, we'll tell the church that we sold some land. And we'll come and we'll give some of it in the church. So in walks Ananias. His wife's going to make a grand entrance later. But in walks Ananias, comes to Peter. Oh, I've sold land too. And here's all the money. And he was a liar because it wasn't all the money. Now, the sin was not in the fact that he didn't give all the money. The sin was that he lied. Because Peter said to him, well, you owned the property. You could decide what to do with it. It was yours to do with what you want. You weren't compelled to sell it and bring it as offerings. But Peter said, you have lied to the Holy Ghost. In other words, God was speaking to that man. And even when he came into the church service, I believe the Holy Spirit was saying, Ananias, don't do it. Ananias, don't do it. Don't. Maybe the Lord has been speaking to you like that over some issue. You're not saved. And when you come into this house, God, the Holy Spirit is speaking constantly. Repent. Trust Christ. You need to be saved. Don't go out without the Lord. Don't go out without bowing to the Lord. Well, the Bible says he lied to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was telling them, don't do it. But Ananias said, oh yes, Peter, it's all the money. God struck him dead. And later his wife. Again, he wanted to please men and to be seen. You go to the second Ananias. Wasn't he so different? The Lord appeared to that Ananias, man with the same name, away up in Damascus. And in chapter 9 we read it. And he said to him, Ananias, go, this is chapter 9, verse 11, go to the street called Straight. We've streets like that in Belfast, even, and in other towns. Still called Straight sometimes, that, the Straight. There's one up Craigie there, the Straight. And look for one called Saul. Now, I don't know if this is right or not, but I wonder, did Ananias go, that's interesting, there's a man called Saul persecuting all the Christians. Well, it does mention that in a verse or two later. Yes, that's the one. Oh. He's the one killing Christians. And that's the one I have to go to. What does he say? I'll go. God said, go. And he went. He obeyed. Why? Because this Ananias, he was interested in pleasing the Lord. And it's amazing. It's amazing, I have them underlined in my Bible. I read it earlier. You go through later. Interesting study from chapter 9 from verse 10. Said he, Lord, said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here. Lord! See that? Ananias answered, Lord. In verse 13, then answered, Ananias answered, Lord. In verse 17, brother Saul, the Lord. You see that? The first set of three, who were more interested in possessions and popularity and position, they don't call him Lord. But here's this Ananias, and he's saying, Lord. You see, Saul wasn't interested in obedience to the Lord. King Saul, that is. Judas Iscariot wasn't interested really in knowing the Lord. It was more about material things. The first Ananias wasn't really interested in pleasing the Lord. He was interested in pleasing men and being popular and getting a pat on the back. What a comparison. Let me deal quickly with the consequences. What's the destinies? Men with the same names. But how did they finish up? It's really amazing. You know what it says about King Saul? An evil spirit entered into his soul. It says the Lord stopped speaking to him. Neither by prophet, Nor by Urim or Thummim, the high priest had that. That's the way of God spoke in those days. Or by dreams, God spoke in those days before the word of God. God never spoke to him. Saul tried to get back to the place where God would speak to him, and he couldn't. That's why he ended up with the witch of Endor. An evil spirit entered into him. What about Judas Iscariot? You read in Scripture, Satan entered into Judas Iscariot. In chapter 5, what about the first Ananias we talked about? You'll read, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? They left themselves open. They left themselves open to Satan in their lives. And then what happened? Three sad, tragic lives. Because they were taken up with material things. What happened to them? Well, King Saul cried out in his later life when he realized God had left him and didn't speak anymore. He said, I played the fool. But he was too late to change. And he took a sword to commit suicide and fell upon it. Oh, I know the Amalekite came and finished him off, but he was already dying. What about Judas Iscariot? It says he put a rope around his neck to hang himself, but I think it was Willie Mullen years ago, I heard him said he couldn't even hang himself properly because the rope broke. That's only his commentary on it, never forgot. Because he fell down and he was dashed on the stones below. What about Ananias? God struck him. The consequences of those three men, their life. But you think about the other three men. Isn't it wonderful how God used them? And they're honored in the Word of God. They're honored. Saul, name changed to Paul, what a great man of God. When he came towards death, what did he say in 2 Timothy 4? I have fought a good fight. Remember, I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. He faced death confidently, going out to meet the Lord. Judas, one of the apostles, do you know it says in heaven? There's the foundations of heaven, you'll find it there. Every one of the 12 apostles is there. Judas' name's there for all eternity. I'm thinking about Judas, of course, the brother of James. He's honored for all eternity. One of the apostles. And Ananias, we're not told any more about him, of course, from Acts chapter 9, but he's recorded there as a faithful servant of God. And he's recorded in the Word of God. And heaven and earth will pass away, but God's Word will never pass away. And therefore, all eternity, it'll be recorded that when God said, Ananias, go, Ananias went. What made the difference? Their relationship to the Lord. That's what made the difference. You remember the Savior said, there'll be many in that day will say, Lord, Lord, haven't you done this? Haven't you done that? The Lord will say, I never knew you. I never knew you. Now, the Bible says that if you live for pride like Saul or possessions like Judas, or for the praise of men, like Ananias, you could lose your soul. But the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe there's somebody thinking, well, if only God would speak to me. If only I could have God come down and he would definitely speak my name. And I could hear him speak in an audible voice, or he'd give me a vision, or he'd give me some feeling, some emotion in the meeting, and then I'll know that I'll trust him. And he'll just stir me, and I will believe, and oh, how foolish. How foolish. But it struck me today, sure, if there was an audible word, and I don't believe it would happen, or if there was a verse with your name in it, you might think it's somebody else with the same name. But what did God say? For whosoever. That's better than your name. That's far better than having your name written out there, the way it is in your birth certificate. Far better. Whosoever means you. So God has already called you. There's nothing to wait for. You don't have to wait for some feeling. You don't have to wait and say, oh, but I need to feel more in earnest, and I need to clean up my life a bit, or I need to get... Listen, God says, if you'll come, whosoever will, call upon the name of the Lord. You bow in submission and say, Savior, you died on Calvary to shed your blood, and you're Lord, and I'm bowing before you as Lord of my life. You know what he's promised to do? I'll save you. I'll save you. You know what the wonderful thing is? When you come to Christ, you know what he does? Well, he says, if you discover that your name's written on the palms of his hand, and it's not somebody else's, it's yours, never be erased. It's God's way of saying you're absolutely secure. He will keep you. I looked up today when I was checking this out, and I thought, I wonder any interesting stories just on the internet just for a couple of minutes, and I found one right away on the BBC News page. A former police officer was visiting the Caribbean, one of the islands, so I'll certainly not visit there. I've never been, but after this story I mightn't go. He'd been a policeman, retired, and he was hailed for 48 hours in a cockroach-infested cell on a Caribbean island. But when he landed in St. Lucia, he was arrested, he and his wife. They were put in a prison cell for 48 hours. They refused the British consulate to get in touch with him. Do you know why it was? It turned out when he was deported back finally and they discovered what had happened, that he had the same name and the same birth date as a criminal that was in the wanted list. Now, he wasn't the same man. He had been a retired police officer. And the BBC webpage was saying how offended they were. We were held in horrendous condition. Because when they saw the passport and they knew there was a man with the same name wanted for a crime, and the birth dates matched, it must be him. But listen, I read that, he said, there'll be no mistake in the day of judgment. Police forces may make mistakes. Hospitals, though, we're thankful for the work that they do. This human error can make mistakes over people's names, can get people confused. It can happen. Government agencies can get them confused. But listen, God will never get the names confused. And there are two whosoever's in the Bible that are important. Whosoever will may come. But the book of Revelation tells us, 20 verse 15, whosoever, their name wasn't found in the book of life, was cast out. We sang about, is your name written there? Is it? Your name. Is your name written in the book of life? In 1892, James Black, who was responsible for a large Sunday school in a Methodist church in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, was calling the roll and realized that a little girl, Bessie, who had been attending the Sunday school for some months in the Epworth League, she hadn't answered her name. It was the superintendent, James Black, who invited to come, but when he called the roll call was silent. There was no answer to her name. She was absent for the first time. And so he was concerned about this young girl and went out to find out at the house. This was back in the 1890s in the United States. She went to the house and he found that the young girl was very ill with advanced pneumonia. And as he went to the house, he spent time, and the girl died a few days later. He was exercised as to what hymn they would sing the next Lord's Day in the Sunday school. And so he wrote his own hymn. He wrote his own hymn. And it's become very well known. We don't think of it as a children's hymn, yet it was written for the Sunday school. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. When the sea of the earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. The first time it was actually sung was at Bessie's funeral. Funeral of that little girl who missed the roll call at the Sunday school. What about your name? What about your name? It all depends on this. Is he your Lord? Can you say tonight, He is my Lord. I have a desire in my heart, not as much as it ought to be, but yet I do have a desire to obey Him. And I do have a desire to know Him better. I have a desire to please Him. Those are the marks that you've trusted Him as Savior. Let's turn to that hymn 151. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. 151, please.